I'm going to read two passages with you tonight. The first one is in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. If you have to do a little translating back there, you feel free to go ahead. You won't interfere with me. All right. Daniel. And we read in chapter 1. In the third year, chapter 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the princes of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Belteshazzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servant, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servant. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days, and at the end of 10 days their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Then Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children of God, gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all vision and dreams. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. I'm going to read one other portion in the New Testament in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. That's all I want to read with you. I want to think a little tonight about purpose of heart. Purpose of heart. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the heart over the last few years. And I've come to the conclusion that the heart can be likened to the planning room of our being. The planning room of our person. It's the place where all the plans are made for life. It's in the heart. Not that vessel that pumps blood, but it is central to our very life, the heart. You know, Daniel was in a very awkward position. He'd been snatched away from his home in the land of Israel and carried off to a strange country. He was a young man, obviously, as we read here. And when he got to that strange country, the king of that country decided that this man was one of the young men that should be trained to stand before him. You see, the king of Babylon had purposes in his heart concerning these young men. And he purposed in his heart that these young men should be in his courtroom. They should be used of him for his purposes, and that they should be taught all the learning of the kingdom that he ruled over. And so with that in mind, he ordered that portion of his meat should be given to these young men, and a portion of the wine that he drank should be given to these young men, and that they should be nourished for 3 years, and then at the end of 3 years they would stand before the king. That was the purpose in the king's heart. But you know, the food that the king ate wasn't the food that a young Hebrew would eat. Not the food that a young Jewish lad would eat. For the king of Babylon ate many things that God had forbidden his people to eat. And you know, Daniel, no doubt, did not want to follow the drunken ways of Babylon. You remember that kingdom came to an end. Belshazzar's day came to an end as they were all drunk, drinking with the king. You know, for the Christian in this world, there is one that is in control of the systems of this world, if you like, and he has purposes in his heart concerning believers. He would purpose in his heart that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ should be used for himself, that they should not stand in the presence of God, they should not be occupied with the service of God, they should not be taken up with the things of God, but rather that they should be taken up with his things, that they should be taught the things that he is interested in. And he is not interested in the things of God. You know, that's what Christians are facing in this world today. They're facing a system that is in opposition to God. A system that wants us to give all of our time and our efforts and our faculty to the things of this world. That's what Daniel was faced with. But you know, Daniel took a long view of things. And it's well for every one of us to take a long view of things. He realized that there was a day coming in the future when he was not going to stand in the presence of the king of Babylon, but he was going to stand in God's presence. And in the light of standing in God's presence and giving an account of his life to God, he determined he would be far wiser to obey God than he would be to obey the king of Babylon. And that's what caused him to purpose in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. You know, as Christians, we need to take a long view of things. Not the short view of life that so many have. But we need to look into the future and see the day when we shall all bow our knees to the Lord Jesus. And we shall give an account of the things which we have done in the body. It will help us greatly in planning our life. It will help us greatly in developing the purposes of life. With the realization that one day we must give an account to the Lord Jesus of life. You know that's true of all in the world today. You know the verse in Hebrews, it says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment applies equally to the believer as it does to the unbeliever. We sometimes apply that verse in the gospel, but there is a judgment for both, thank God. The judgment for the believer will not be the judgment for sin and condemnation, but it will be a judgment. Very serious matter. And Daniel took the long view and said, one day, I'm not only going to stand in the presence of the king of Babylon, but I'm going to stand in one far greater than him. I'm going to be in the presence of God someday. And that's what helped him, I am quite sure, to develop the purpose of heart that he did. He thought, if I defile myself with the king's meat, how will I ever be able to answer to God? How will I ever be able to lift my head to the God of heaven with my conscience condemning me, having defiled myself with the king's meat? Daniel made up his mind. He purposed in his heart, in the planning room of his life, that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. You know, that's where life starts. The planning of life starts in our heart. It is in our hearts that we plan what we are going to do in life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's out of the abundance of the heart that a man speaks. And it's in the heart that you and I plan the purposes of life. And Daniel said, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. Okay? If you and I are going to live a life that is pleasing to God, useful to God, and of use to our fellow believers, and of use to those that are not saved, we will have to determine in our hearts, plan in our hearts, that we will not defile ourselves with the things of this world. We'll have to plan that. If we don't plan it, it'll never happen. One of the things they used to tell us when we were in the workaday world was, plan your work. and then carry out your plan. Now, that's pretty simple advice, but it's good advice. Plan your work and then carry out your plan. And if you never make a plan, don't be surprised if it never gets carried out. You didn't have anything to carry out in the first place. We need a plan. And Daniel's plan in his heart was, I'm going to obey God. I am not going to defile myself with the king's meat. Okay. So, of course he had a problem. Because the king's commandment was that he should eat of the king's meat and drink of the king's wine. So how do you get around that? Well, once he had his plan in place, he began to work his plan. You know, God was already starting to give him wisdom about the plan. He didn't ask the eunuch that was assigned to look after his well-being for 3 years and then look at us at the end of 3 years and, well, if we're not as good as the others, well, we'll just, you know, we'll have to do the best we can. No. If he'd asked for 3 years, he'd have been turned down flat. He said, just give us 10 days. Just give us 10 days. That's all he asked for. What a wise man he was. Just test us for 10 days. 10 days wouldn't endanger the eunuch in any way. The king wouldn't take his head off in 10 days. He was going to wait 3 years before he saw these young men. And so it was that at the end of 10 days, they looked better than all the rest that were eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine. You know, believers who have obeyed God and planned in their heart that they would not defile themselves with the things of this world, they look fairer and fatter in life than those that have. Not only that, but God gives them wisdom and understanding in all things. I have seen it happen many, many times in my little lifetime. That God gives wisdom to believers who are obedient to Him. And even in the workaday world, whatever they might be occupied with in earning a living in this world, God gives them the wisdom to excel. Because they have first put God at the center of their plans, that they would please Him and not be defiled with the things of this world. God always honors those that honor Him. I remember talking to a man who's a veterinarian now, talking to him about when he was going to university. And he said the studies were hard. There were long hours of studying, but he determined that while he was in university, he would attend the meetings. He wouldn't miss the meetings. And he would give God the first place in his life. You know, he came out near the top of his class when he graduated. He didn't lose a thing by giving God the first place in planning. He planned that he would be at the meetings. He planned that he would be with the believers when they met to study the scriptures. He planned those things. And then he carried out his plan. And God honored him. You know, we need to plan for God. If we don't plan to be at the prayer meeting, we'll never be there likely. We don't plan to be at the meetings, we won't be there. If we don't plan to read our Bibles, it'll never happen. If we don't plan God into our lives, He won't be there. Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And God blessed him for it. And God will bless us for it. I want to look at the other passage that we read. You know, the believers were scattered abroad, it says, because of the persecution over Stephen. in Acts chapter 11. And, well, you know, the gospel was in their hearts. The Lord Jesus was in their hearts. He had died for them upon their cross, and they had trusted Him now as their Savior. And, well, they just couldn't help speaking about Him when they were forced to leave their homes and flee to a safer place. They couldn't help speaking about Him. I remember going to an immigration hearing for a dear young lady born in the country of Iran who trusted Christ as her Savior. And she applied to become a refugee and reside in Canada, because if she went back to her country, they'd take her head off in front of the mosque. They'd decapitate her, execute her, because she had left the religion of that country. In one of the questions that was put to her in that hearing was, couldn't you just go back to Iran and be silent? Couldn't you just go back to the country you came from and be quiet? Just zip the lip. The judges, the adjudicators in the case, they asked her that question just that pointedly. And she said, no. And they said, why not? And she said, well, Jesus is in my heart, she said. And she couldn't help speaking about Him. She'd have to open her mouth and talk about Him. So that's what happened here. They were scattered abroad, but all it did was scatter the message of the gospel with them. No doubt God had purposes in it. Well, you know, there were souls that got saved. They believed the gospel message when these people began to speak to them about the Lord Jesus, and they began to preach about the Lord Jesus, and souls began to get saved. And it came to the ears of the church. Churches have ears, you know, besides having steeples and all the fancy glass windows. The church in the Bible here had ears. It was made up of people, not bricks and stone and glass. And when the tidings came to the church, why, they sent out Barnabas to see what was going on. And when he saw the grace of God, oh, what a sight it must have been to see these people who were heathen and idolatrous and immoral. And now they were believers in the Lord Jesus, and they had God first in their life. He had one central message for them, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. They would plan in their hearts that they were going to cleave to the Lord. I wonder if we all purposed in our heart that we're going to cleave to the Lord. You know, as believers, you and I will face a lot of difficulties in life. Oh, I'm talking about difficulties in spiritual things, and difficulties that will come into the assembly, and difficulties that will come into our own lives, and so on. And if you and I haven't purposed in our heart that we're going to cleave to the Lord, it'll never happen. I have known a lot of believers in my lifetime. Some that I was good friends with. And they don't remember the Lord on a Sunday morning. And they're not found in the companies of God's people today. Were they saved? Just as much as I am. What happened? Well, in the planning of their life, they never planned that regardless of what came in life, they were going to cleave to the Lord. And they're not there today. See? It is with purpose of heart that you and I make the plans that we're going to cleave to the Lord. Not to the brethren. To the Lord. You know, the brethren said to me, when they interviewed me to come into the assembly, they said, Ed, you're not coming into fellowship to the brethren. I'm glad they told me that.
He said, you're coming into fellowship with the Lord Jesus.
That's quite scriptural, by the way. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. You're coming into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus. Coming in fellowship with him. And if you're going to leave the assembly, you'll have to find something wrong with him. Well, you know, when I came into the assembly, I thought believers were like angels. They all had halos on and they were all straight. And I discovered they were all like me. And sometimes the halo got a little kinked, a little off balance, you know. It wasn't all straight. And I remember a time when I said to my mother on a Sunday morning, you know, I have no heart to go this morning. Difficulties had come in. And they had so upset me that I thought, I can't go back. And my dear mother said to me, Ed, don't go for the brethren. But couldn't you go for the Lord? Couldn't you go for the Lord? It didn't take me but a second to say yes for him, I could go. And I've never left it since. See, my purpose of heart is that I want to remain with him, in fellowship with him, and in fellowship with all the others that are in fellowship with him, right to the end of my days. That's the purpose of heart. And that's what Barnabas said to these dear believers at Antioch. He encouraged them with purpose of heart, planning in their hearts that they would not leave the Lord. They would cleave to him. Cleave to the Lord. You know, if you and I cleave to him, we won't have any difficulty coming to remember him. We won't have any difficulty participating with him in all the activities that he wants us to participate in, regardless of what the brethren or the sisters are doing or how they think or how they act or react, because we're cleaving to him. Okay. So with purpose of heart, let us plan to cleave to the Lord. May the Lord bless his word.